folks, and welcome to Songs of Our Own, a marital tour through the music that shaped us. I'm your co-host, Lee Strickland.
And I'm Al Leone.
Oh, hey, Al.
Hi, Lee. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am doing good. It is a beautiful day here in Kansas City.
Yeah, it snowed the other day and was like 65 the day before that. It's springtime in Kansas City.
Yeah, it's also February in Kansas City. I just want to point that out.
Listen, the groundhog didn't see a shadow. We get an early spring.
That is true. Punxsutawney Phil has struck again.
Yeah, or he did see a shadow. I don't know how that works.
Depends on which groundhog you talk to.
That's true. There was a Disney cartoon, I think, about it.
Of course there was.
Or something. I can't remember. But anyway, yeah, we're here. We're recording. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Lee, who are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about Sly and the Family Stone and their song, Thank You, for Letting Me Be Myself Again.
And I want to point out that you are being very intentional about how you are saying those words, mm-hmm. because I was like, oh yeah, what's the song? I'm going to look up the lyrics. And like, even my Google was like, do you mean for letting me be myself? And then I was like, oh no, it's definitely like for letting and then mice elf.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what an interesting way to spell all of this.
Yeah, I mean, it was very intentional for the time. But yeah, the song so many people refer to is just Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the actual title.
Okay.
So let's dive in, shall we?
Without further ado.
So Sly and the Family Stone was an American band originating from San Francisco, California. Active from 1966 to 1983, they were pivotal in the development of funk, soul, R&B, rock, and psychedelic music.
Ooh, pivotal.
Pivotal. Their core lineup was led by singer-songwriter, record producer, and multi-instrumentalist Sly Stone, and included Stone's brother and singer-guitarist Freddie Stone, sister and singer-keyboardist Rose Stone, trumpeter Cynthia Robinson, drummer Greg Errico, saxophonist Jerry Martini, and bassist Larry Graham. The band was the first major American group to have a racially integrated mixed-gender lineup.
What?
Yeah, and that was, again, very intentional by Sly Stone. He wanted, especially on... Their drummer is white,
mm-hmm.
And he really was looking for a white drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so everything was very intentional, which was really cool.
Why did he specifically want his drummer to be white?
Because in like funk and soul and R&B at that time, right? Like white guys don't have rhythm, right? White guys can do like four on the floor, rock music, country music.
Fair.
So to find a like white drummer who could just drum like they needed him to was unheard of.
Hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Formed in 1966, the group's music synthesized a variety of disparate musical genres to help pioneer the emerging psychedelic soul sound. They released a series of top 10 Billboard Hot 100 hits, such as Dance to the Music in 1968, Everyday People in 1968, and Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again in 1969, as well as critically acclaimed albums such as Stand in 1969, which combined pop sensibility with social commentary. In the 1970s, it transitioned into a darker and less commercial funk sound on releases such as There's Gonna Be a Riot Going On in 1971 and Fresh in 1973, proving as influential as their early work. By 1975, drug problems and interpersonal clashes led to the dissolution, though Sly continued to record and tour with a new rotating lineup under the name Sly and the Family Stone until drug problems forced his effective retirement in 1987.
That's sad.
The work of Sly and the Family Stone greatly influenced the sound of subsequent American funk, pop, soul, R&B, and hip-hop music. Music critic Joel Selvin wrote, "There are two types of black music before Sly Stone and black music after Sly Stone." In 2010, they were ranked 43rd in Rolling Stone's 100 Greatest Artists of All Time, and three of their albums are included on the Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Albums of All Time. The band was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1993.
Wow. I'm always amazed by how long it takes to get inducted into something, because it is usually like 30 years from start to induction.
Yeah, I would say so.
But that's really high praise to say, like, there was music before you and then there's music after you, but you are that dividing line. Like, wow.
Oh, yeah. Like, those albums from the mid-60s to the early 70s, I mean, just played such a huge role in influencing musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they were so unique, and the band lineup was so unique, and, I mean, their stage presence was just something else, right?
Yeah.
Because before that, you had these groups who would come out, like, very put together in suits and stuff, and, you know, Sly Stone, they're out there all dressed as how they want to dress,
mm-hmm.
And just like their psychedelic best. And yeah, everybody's kind of doing their own thing and it's working and synergizing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool to see old concert footage of them. It's kind of a shame how like it ended.
Mm-hmm.
They're one of those groups that like made some bad business decisions. And I don't think actually own any of their music.
Oh.
Yeah, so some producer somewhere owns it.
Gross.
So, yeah, like there was a documentary on kind of like where is Sly Stone now? Mm-hmm. And I think it was in the like late 2000s that it came out. Mm-hmm. And he's like, at that time, was like living in a hotel, like basically begging for money.
Mm-hmm.
And kept trying to like put a band together to get a comeback going.
Mm-hmm.
And just kept not being able to do it.
Yeah.
Like, he just kept getting in his own way.
Interesting.
Yeah, so definitely an unfortunate tale of somebody who is so influential and so talented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's a little bit of background on Sly and the Family Stone. You want to talk about the song?
Yeah, so if they had so many great hits, tell us about this one and then tell us why this is the one to talk about.
Gladly. So, Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again, released as a double A-side single with Everybody is a Star. It reached number one on the soul single charts for 5 weeks and reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100 in February of 1970. Billboard ranked the record as the number 19 song of 1970.
Wow.
Yeah, of the whole year. The title is an intentional modern green or sensational spelling of Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again. The third verse contains specific references to the group's previous successful songs, Dance to the Music, Everyday People, Sing a Simple Song, and You Can't Make It If You Try, or You Can Make It If You Try, sorry. The song features co-lead vocals from Sly Stone, Rose Stone, Freddie Stone, Cynthia Robinson, Jerry Martini, Greg Errico, and Larry Graham. On the song, Graham is widely credited with introducing the slap technique on the electric bass, which is heard prominently throughout the track.
Mm-hmm.
It's heard in like the first 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Thank You was intended to be included on an in-progress album with Star and Hot Fun in the Summertime, but the LP was never completed, and the three tracks were instead included on the band's 1970 Greatest Hits LP. Thank You and Star, the final Family Stone recordings issued in the 1960s, marked the beginning of a 20-month gap of releases for the band, which would finally end with the release of Family Affair in 1971. The song's length on the original hit single and the Greatest Hits LP is 4 minutes and 48 seconds, and was rechanneled to simulate stereo on the popular Greatest Hits LP. The previously unreleased full-length version is 6 minutes and 18 seconds. It was mixed by Bob Irwin in True Studio, and its only issue was on the 1990 Columbia promotional CD Legacy, Music for the Next Generation. On the subsequent and available as of 2015, the Essential Sly and Family Stone 2CD set. The track is in stereo, but has a standard 4-minute, 48-second length version. The song was ranked number 410 on the Rolling Stone magazine's 500 Greatest Songs of All Time. Janet Jackson's 1989 signature song, Rhythm Nation, is based on a guitar sample from this song. The song was followed by a reworking on the closing track, Thank You for Talking to Me, Africa, from the group's subsequent 1971 album, There's a Riot Going On.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a little bit about the song.
Yeah, I mean, they're, again, I think it goes back to what you were saying about him being a, him and his band being a defining presence in the music industry. Like, that slap guitar sound is all over the place now.
Oh, yeah. Like, so many, I mean, you look at the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and that's Flea, their bassist. I mean, he is, like, a slap bass guru, right? Mm-hmm. And I would bet that he can trace that back to Sly and the Family Stone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you hear that style of bass all over the place now, and it's immediately like, oh yeah, this is going to be like a funky song, or this has been sampled from a funk song.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, iconic.
So what drew you to this song as opposed to any of their other ones?
That's a good question. We've been talking about doing this song for forever.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you hear this song more than any of their other ones, which is another reason I picked it, because it's more out there in the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, right, the name of it, like, Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again, just really resonates
mm-hmm.
with me. It's interesting to look at the lyrics, because the lyrics do not match the title or the tone of the song.
Definitely don't. And that was something I wanted to bring up, because I was like, man, this is one of those songs where you can be like, oh, yeah, I love that. And you're like, do you know what it's about? And then you look and you're like, oh, damn.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I think it's a song that can mark that pivot for Sly and the Family Stone from this 60s psychedelic soul
mm-hmm.
group into their 70s, which is a much more like harder funk sound, mm-hmm. where they're, you know, getting a little more social, a little more political in their commentary. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a song of duality and many meanings, which are typically songs that I pick when I talk about something on here.
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I really like that, just the title of the song, mm-hmm. Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself Again. Yeah, because it's, I mean, in the title itself, right, it's not quite what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. I think this song really is about the duality of man.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to you to, like, be allowed to be yourself and then add that again part?
I think like getting to live your authentic self, or getting to live your authentic life. Mm-hmm. And I feel like so few people get to live how they authentically want to live mm-hmm. amongst like the general population. Right. I feel like you get to kind of be yourself behind closed doors a lot of the times, but then you have to put on this other self to go outside in the world, and you have to be who society dictates you should be.
Mm.
So I think it's a real rare thing to get to be yourself so often and so freely. So I think the again part is just really like paying gratitude to those people and to those places and to those spaces where you get to be your authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, like, for the most part, I've gotten to be my authentic self pretty often. Definitely not always, but I would say more often than not, I get to be me.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with you and with Cedar, like that is me.
Yeah. That's just that like behind closed doors thing, right? Like I would hope that who you are with your family, you get to feel like true and authentic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that you feel like when you step outside of this house, that's still in alignment.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. Al here. And when I'm not podcasting with Lee, I'm also the president of a company called Better Humans. At Better Humans, we use experiential challenges to help you level up those team skills such as communication, collaboration, and trust, and we would love to serve your team. We work with all kinds of humans in every age range. Professional development for teachers, businesses, etc. We got you. Camaraderie for a new team formed at a corporation? Heck yeah! Student groups looking for some fun class bonding and relationship building? That's what we're made of. We know every team has unique needs, so every team gets a personalized program staffed by facilitators with a collective 100 years of experience. If you're in the KC area and this resonates with you, visit our website at betterhumansheartland.com or send us an email at betterhumansheartland@gmail.com. Better Humans LLC, cultivating leaders and teams in the Heartland since 2023.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think the chosen family is another part of that again thing in this song, because there's your family, and then there's your chosen family, and that idea of that chosen family, I think is huge for so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a lot of times, like, your family can only see, like, such a curated view of you as well, because there's all of this, like, what they expect you to be when you grow up, and like, I knew you since you were little, and like, sometimes there isn't that space and that grace to actually transform into who you're meant to be in the first place in the way that you really can with your chosen family. And you know, that is like not even bringing commentary to people whose families just like kick them out and disown them for a wide variety of reasons, right? Like that, like you said, that chosen family is so special because they're going to choose you. And, you know, you expect your family to have to choose you. And when they don't, that's really painful.
Oh, yeah. That's immensely painful. Do you feel like you get to live pretty authentically?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know that I really know any other way to be besides being exactly me.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing.
Well, it's not, but it definitely bites me in the butt sometimes. Where I'm like, man, like, this is not the hill that I should die on. But the part of me that's like, but this is the right thing to do. So that's the hill we're going on. I wish I could turn that off sometimes, but that's also just like authentically who I am, right? Like, I have really strong beliefs and I really believe in integrity and what's right and what's wrong. And I'm not going to compromise that when I don't feel like I should have to.
Yeah. And like, I'm really glad that Cedar gets to grow up witnessing that, like, with you as that role model. Like, I think that's going to be a super special, important thing in his life.
Thanks. Yeah, I think there are definitely relationships where I do have to like put on that facade, right? Because it's just like the waves that would be made by me being me in this relationship are just not. It's going to affect more than just me. Mm. And so then sometimes that's something that makes me step back from that authenticity. And so then it really is a breath of fresh air when you get around those chosen people and it's like, oh, okay, I can just be me, and me is enough. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really, really special. So, yeah, I mean, I think in a nutshell, that's what this song, like, that's what the title means.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the title takes such an interesting spelling as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because myself, right, might not actually be what you expect it to be. Like, you have to look a little bit harder to actually know who it is you're seeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like exactly. Yeah, it's a really cool idea. It's so much less, I think, straightforward than some of the other songs of the era. And I think definitely some of their songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I'm really glad that you shared it. Funk sounds are so fun to me.
Yeah, I love, I mean, we could do a whole podcast just like tracing the history of funk.
I would not love that, but I would be happy to listen to it.
Cool. Then I'm putting a call out to the other podcasters. Help me create a podcast where we just talk about funk.
Talk about history. Talk about funk.
Yeah, I'm here for it. But yeah, I'm glad you like the song so much. Yeah, again, the lyrics are super interesting if you want to get into those kind of.
Yeah, tell me what the heck is going on in most of the song.
So in preparation for this episode, other than doing my research and stuff, there's another podcast I've been listening to called One Song.
Mm-hmm.
And so the two hosts are like in the music industry as producers, multi-instrumentalists, and they're like really cool guys. So they did an episode on this song.
Oh, cool.
Yes. And I think they stole the idea from us. Just saying. I don't know how, but I think they did. No, just kidding. So they actually get to interview Sly Stone's, one of his kids.
Oh, wow.
For this episode. And they talk a lot about the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, what was it like at this point? And she, you know, is like, my dad just wasn't really around. So, like, I couldn't tell you. But they do. They talk about how the lyrics match the song and they match the beat. Mm-hmm. Up until, I think it's the third verse, they say, where the lyrics just really go, like, offbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no idea why, just that there wasn't a better way to fit them in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I really don't know much to say about the lyrics. They're very, like, kind of political, and it's a lot to do with like gun violence, and yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers to it. Like, I think it finally gets on the message that you would expect right at the end of the song, because it does talk about how, like, so few people get to do what they, like, are born to do. And yeah, the whole first part of it, I was like, huh, I wonder if this is you talking about, like, wrestling with the devil, which is, like, the expectations put upon you. Like, I think there's a lot of, like, philosophical things you can unpack there. But mostly, for me, it was just a trip to read it and be like, oh, this is what they're saying? Like, what on earth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they get to the part in the song, right, where they're singing and they sing Dance to the Music, which is one of their hits, All Night Long, Everyday People, which is one of their hits, Sing a Simple Song, which is another hit. And then they get into Mama's So Happy, Mama Starts to Cry, Papa's Still Singing, We Can Make It If We Try.
Mm-hmm.
So that feels very autobiographical, especially with Sly, Rose, and Freddie being siblings, right?
Yeah.
That feels very autobiographical of them maybe starting the band or telling their folks this is what they want to get into. Mm-hmm. And then it's the last verse before the two, before the choruses kick in. Flaming eyes of people fear burning into you. Many men are missing, much hating what they do. Youth and truth are making love. Dig it for a starter. Dying young is hard to take. Selling out is harder.
Yeah, that one really got me in the heart. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, that one. For that to be like the last full verse of the song, like, and that's the one, that's the verse that doesn't really fit with the beat. Mm-hmm. All the rest of them kind of do. And having read that, you know, several times and then listened to the song, like, I think that's pretty intentional.
Yeah, I would say, just like, given this artist's history and how intentional he was with, like, picking his band and deciding how to spell things in the title, like, there's nothing that's just an accident there. Yeah. But, you know, sometimes it's nice to have things just be left up to wonder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes that mystery is nice. It's intriguing. It's what life is about. So, yeah, any final thoughts?
No, I'm just super appreciative that you wanted to unpack it. I feel like I learned a lot. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad Glad you wanted to follow me on this crazy journey of a song.
Well, and speaking of following you on journeys, you have next month's artist and episode as well. Do you want to do the like big reveal?
Yeah. So next month, right, is March. It's Women's History Month. So we are going to cover Joni Mitchell and her song Big Yellow Taxi.
Which you might have thought was originally by the Counting Crows, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't think that.
Okay, well, welcome to everybody else in the world.
There's a generation of people who did. So we're going to cover Joni's version. We're going to cover the Counting Crows version, similarities, differences, all that fun stuff. We'll probably be talking as well about her her Grammy award-winning Best Folk Album of the Year, mm-hmm. live at Newport Folk Festival. There's going to be a lot of cool stuff to cover.
Wonderful. So, y'all, if you want to listen ahead, the great Joni Mitchell, Big Yellow Taxi, and just know how much we appreciate you. This has been Songs of Our Own, and until we get to be with you again, enjoy your own songs.